Cuckoos was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. Good morning. How are you? It's Monday, April the 28th, and we are rocking here today, and cause Linda's back.
What good happened morning. To April there?
I just, you know, I find it interesting. As soon as you come back, I get 1,000 papers all over my stuff.
That's
if I
right.
just stop being organized the day you walk back in.
Absolutely. That's what we do.
How you feeling?
I'm great. I'm finally turned the corner. It was almost 3 weeks.
It was.
So be careful, folks, that bronchitis happens and the next thing you know, anyway. So thank you for all your well wishes. I really appreciate that. And Jim and Mary Lou, thank you so much for your get well card. And I'm turning the corner and I feel like I've got energy. I actually did housework with Joy yesterday.
With Joy?
Yeah.
I didn't see her.
Made meatloaf.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I just felt like I was getting my energy back, so.
Alright, 7:08 in the morning is Monday, like I said, Monday, April the 28th. It's, our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And let's start off with Josh Wiley in our Wells Fargo Market Minute. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, good morning. Well, markets have been back and forth this morning, but are currently in positive territory. Currently, the Dow's up 83 points at 16,445, while the Nasdaq's up 10 at 4,086, and the S&P 500's up 5 at 1,869. Oil's up 40 cents a barrel at $101, while the 30-year Treasury's yielding 3.46%. Gold's unchanged this morning at $1,300 an ounce, while silver's down a dime at $19.62 an ounce. Some of our most actively traded stocks this morning. Walmart's up $1.09 at $79.71. Pfizer's up 95 cents at $31.70, while Home Depot's up 77 cents at $80.15. Well, that's the market for now. This is Josh Wiley at the Reading office of Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Josh, thanks a lot. We have our Wells Fargo Advisors on Monday through Friday, 708-808-908, right here. You know, when you're looking at making changes or doing things to provide some financial freedom later on in your life and for your kids, the Wells Fargo Advisors, they're the way to go. Give them a call, 243-7561, and make an appointment, and then stop by their offices on Park Marina Drive.
Monday, here we are.
Monday and weather.
Absolutely. And I was thinking about how fabulous the weekend was, even with the rolling clouds and, the scattered showers here and there. A cool April nights must have had a tremendous, you know, I understand on Friday night they still had thousands that lined the streets for the cruise. And Saturday was absolutely beautiful. How wonderful when they had all their, you know, the show and shines and the car show out in front of the, I want to still call it the convention center, but you know what I'm talking about. And, congratulations to all of the people, from Cool April Nights to having a very successful event. Brings in hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people from all over the country to come here for the show and shine, and it was great to see that, and to actually hear the roaring of the engines.
The engines, when they were racking them up and down the street. Every time, you know, they get there and kind of look around, see if nobody was there, and then you'd hear this, blah, blah, blah.
I love it. Of course, you have to let it rip. Mostly sunny today with temperatures around 75. Now, folks, this week, we are going to be in the 88s tomorrow and Wednesday, 91. And this is what we love. It's just rained, and now it's, you know, everything's going to come and bloom again. Mostly clear tonight with temperatures around 51. Now, the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. You know what May starts to represent? I know here we are at the 28th. just have a few more days left. And May always reminds me of, we get close to Mother's Day and Zoom, we get right into all the rodeo activities. And I know that we're going to be, I think, doing the rodeo luncheon tomorrow to find out all the activities are going on. So before you know it, we're going to be gearing up for that.
And that's going to be coming in a couple of weeks. Of course, the pancake breakfast. You're talking about the robbing of the bank.
Oh my goodness.
You have all these things that are coming up this month. So many things happening this month. And, the big thing though is, when you were there and you were,
What's there?
Well, I mean, when you were in the house, I mean, did you finally get up? I kept telling people pneumonia is nothing to screw around with. That you'd get up and you try and push it.
I had to go three times to the doctor to get x-rays, two times for x-rays. And again, it started with bronchitis. And then the first x-ray, a week later showed that I had pneumonia. And the second week later, cause I would go on these bouts of antibiotics, and then I would, get up and do something for a day, and then boom, I was just like, it does exhaust you, and they do say that it takes 3 to 4 weeks, and so I have literally done that. I had to cancel a lot of things, and I'm sorry for those, but everybody understood, that when you're, just get better, because, we do have an extended schedule. And what's great about that, spending time in bed, I'm so happy. And this just really segues right into, Sleep Number, because, I spent, 45 and 50. You know, when you spend that much time in bed, it's really great to know that you love your mattress. And I love my Sleep Number. So my Sleep Number setting's been 45, and, I feel like that.
Did you ever take your Sleep Number setting go up and down when you were laying in bed? I mean, when you were laying there, and I know you weren't feeling well, but did you ever pump it up, say, okay, I'm going to sit up a little bit higher in the bed or anything like that? It was just mainly sleep, right?
Mainly sleep.
Well, I tell you, my Sleep Number is 40. I've moved up, and I'm moving up, I'm going up. I'm working my way up to 55. I don't know why that is. But if you thought you couldn't afford a Sleep Number mattress, you're wrong. They've got the all-new Sleep Number Classic Series. Now, made in America, it's guaranteed, clinically proven to relieve back pain, improve sleep quality, and of course, it is Consumer Reports number one mattress. I can't say enough about that. But you head on down to the Sleep Number store. It's just $699, and right now save $300 on the all-new C4 Queen mattress sets right down in the Target Shopping Center. Head on down to there and give them a call at 223-2300 and talk to Brian or Janice, because we ask, and people say, because we'll be talking, and they'll say, is the mattress really that good? I mean, your spokesman. And we say, well, yeah, but we wouldn't do that if we, just like anything else we talk about live, and we do a live read, it's somebody we know, something we've done, and we trust that, and yes, it is that good. So head on down, Sleep Number, down in the Target Shopping Center. All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we've got a lot of things to talk about. Was the government right with Bundy? Was it BLM? I've seen, BLM has to win this. BLM has to win this. There are ways of winning, and then there's ways of handling this. And frankly, in my opinion, the BLM, they did it all wrong. And we're going to talk about that when we get back. We're going to talk about, should somebody lose their living because of something they said? Should they? We'll be right back after these messages.
Dinner tonight. How about a Jack's Grill world famous steak, a fork tender filet mignon, a hot and juicy New York steak or brochet of beef cooked to perfection and so tender you can cut it with a smile. Maybe deep fried prawns or golden fried chicken, all served with garlic bread, hot baked potato or french fries, and a large family style bowl of tossed green salad with homemade dressing of your choice. Are you in the mood? Meet friends and family at Jack's Grill, a Reading landmark for 75 years. Open Monday through Saturday on California Street, downtown Reading.
After the loss of a loved one, there's so much to think about. Costs shouldn't be one of them. For the compassionate care that you need and at about half the cost of a traditional funeral home, Blair's Cremation and Burial Service at 241-3400 will give you the peace of mind and compassionate care that you deserve at an affordable cost. Serving the North State with direct cremation service and complete funerals. Call 241-3400 or visit online at blairscremation.com. Blair's Cremation and Burial Service, 5530 Mountain View Drive, Redding.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Your home is your castle, but to a thief, it's just another target. There's no one-size-fits-all security system, and that's why Hue & Cry custom designs every home security alarm system. Hue & Cry is a locally and family-owned business that's been serving the Shasta County area for 22 years. Hue & Cry produces a quality turnkey system with an exclusive performance guarantee. Now that's personal service. Call Hue & Cry, 800-800-ALARM. 800-800-ALARM.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew. Guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt at Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Oh, yeah, good morning. Welcome back to KCNR. Yeah, I was quick on the draw there, Bob. I guess I'm excited to be back in the seat, 7:17 in the morning.
We're excited to have you back in the seat, too.
Currently 48 degrees. And this portion of the show is brought to you by
Orchard Nutrition, North State's one of, you know what, the North State's nutrition expert. I can't say enough. They've got more supplements, more natural foods than anybody else in Northern California. In-store deli, so you always make sure you get great food there. Four nutritionists on the staff to help you, no cost, just to help you with your decisions in this. Joe carries natural foods and supplements, and nobody else does. He doesn't make money on it. He does it to help his customers. Located in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, of course, Amazing Foods for Life is in there. Another great gluten-free mixes that you can get there. Orchard Nutrition, it's your center for a healthy lifestyle. All right, you had
I've got a number of things I want to talk about.
You do a feel-good story first, and then I'll follow up.
Yeah, because I know you've got some stuff that, that's kind of in people's
craw. Won't feel quite as good.
This is a really good story to start. You know, of course, it's Mustang's, 50th year celebration, isn't it? Bob,
yeah.
What are you laughing at?
It was a twinge realizing the iconic American muscle car.
I was 15 when they came out, and I tell you what, we were driving around in Boise, Idaho, and it was like, great. It was, oh wow.
Yeah.
I had a 65 at one point in my life.
Oh, exciting.
You had a 65?
Yeah.
That was last year though, right?
Anyway, of course we had cool April nights and everything, so.
And they were honoring
yes,
the
of course.
50th anniversary.
It's just, it's very, very, cool. I love the new body of the new
new Mustangs.
The new Mustangs, but it's the 50th anniversary Mustangs.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Those are cool. I want to get inside of one of those. So anyway, in headlines, Jackson, Mississippi, Betsy Montgomery, listen to this story, folks. You're going to love this. Drove the same car on her 55th birthday that she drove as a 15-year-old. A 1966 red Mustang that her dad bought from the original owner in 1973. Well, how she got the opportunity to sew is head scratching. You know, if it wasn't for her friends with her, then saw it for herself, I'm not sure she'd believe it. So here's what happened. October 12th, 2012, a man from California left a message on Montgomery's home phone near Brookhaven. The man said he wanted to talk to her about some stolen property. Montgomery returned his call the next day, and the guy identified himself as Lou Coven with something called the NICB. He said, "Have you had anything stolen?" And she said, "No, well, except a car about 20 years ago." "What kind of car?" he said. She said, "A 1967 red Mustang." "Well, I have it sitting right here in California. It was about to be put on the boat to Australia where somebody bought it." This gal has worked as an emergency room, nurse. She, at 15 years old, the story goes on about how, it was stolen from her parents' driveway in 1992, four blocks from where she lived in South Jackson. Two decades later, the car was traced to Montgomery through NICB, the National Insurance Crime Bureau. So folks, that's nice to hear because it shows that some of these agencies are doing well. A nonprofit established by insurance companies.
It's a private industry, which is why it's working.
Well, it was.
I just want to point that out. It's a private industry. That's why it's
okay.
Working.
Well, that's interesting to know that. But it was what happened is they were looking for it all these years, and it was through the car's VIN number that they found it. So the car arrived in a truck in the mechanic shop near Weston, Montgomery, and she just said she couldn't believe that she got it back. And her dad paid like $750. They got it for $600. They said the recognized authority on vehicle value is a car like Montgomery's would have an original suggested retail price of $2,500. So anyway, when she got it back, she kept it in her garage for 3 months. And it was like not real, but she said the memories kept flooding back of how dad taught her how to drive the stick shift in that car, you know, the things that they would do in that car, the memories of that car. And she said, I don't know how many people owned it. She wishes there was a black box from the car because she'd like to know all the places it had been, but it was still in great shape and she drove it on her birthday. She waited to drive it on her birthday. So all those years later, she drove it on her birthday and it was returned. And I think that's a great story about, you know, sometimes things will come back to you.
There you go. No, it was unusual. But again, let's go back that it was a private industry that found it, not the government. Okay, Cool April Nights, we talked about that. I was out on Friday for a while. And you know what? You've got to be quick when you get around Hilltop. Otherwise, you're going to watch the cruise whether you want to or not. You are there. But there's so many out. And it's raining. And it's starting to rain. And other people, they're bringing umbrellas. They were parked. They were not going to, you know. Cool April Nights, thousands of cars. Tens of thousands of people, millions of dollars for Redding.
Rain or shine.
18 people killed in a tornado in Oklahoma and Arkansas, most of them in Arkansas. Came down, you know, swooped through, and it, you know, here's the interesting thing. They were showing the damage, you know, with live video from a drone. They had a drone.
Whoa.
They had a drone out over the area, right there in the spot. Yeah, the news agencies had the drone out. That was really interesting. Now, that could be, there's a reason to have a drone that you can fly, you know, you can send it to an area right away, a little bit further out that you can't get people to.
Oh yeah, assessing emergency situations is a huge application. The Forest Service and Cal Fire are looking into using the devices in a positive way to quickly get a handle on fire lines and things like that.
Well, that's what, you know, you can do that. You can go down and check power lines, you can check crops. There's a lot of, drones are here. My friends, and they're going to be used a lot for business now. Does that mean for surveillance? I don't know. But frankly, you're going to start seeing more cameras downtown. You're going to start seeing your right of privacy as you think privacy is being chipped away. And frankly, you probably already got cameras out there you don't even know about.
Well, you look on Google Earth, you can see whose car is in your driveway at least
6 months ago.
Day,
yeah. on a certain
but
day.
But we're not far from real time.
By the way, why do they have the right to put my house on so anybody can see it? Is there a way I can stop that? There must be.
Not that I am aware of.
There must be a way that, what right do they have to publish, you know, a photo of my house so somebody could look at it and see, oh, okay, here's the fences and all this.
It's never been successfully challenged.
Really? Yeah. I bet somebody must have challenged it.
It has been challenged many times, but because the satellite, of course, is 180 miles off the surface of the Earth, your right of privacy over your property extends upward, I think, to about 10,000 feet, give or take. That's been established in the courts. I'd have to look up the number.
Well, I know that police cannot come up to your fence and look over and see things. Mm. They've got to be able to, like, see it without coming up and you know, going over your fence to see stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's an interesting story. Like, you know, right along with that is my brother was going to be going to a medical meeting in Yosemite, and for some reason he went to Earth Google, you know, to try to find the map or whatever. And for, I don't know, he must have typed in an old address that we had, which was but in Pleasant Valley, and he emails me and he says, you know, I saw, you know, our old house on Google Maps or something like that. I think it's called Google Earth. And is it?
Yes. Yeah, Google Earth, yeah.
Yeah, Google Earth.
It's one that lets me see all the pot farms around my house.
Yeah, well, and there's a winery up there now above Leisure Lane. And he said there's a pool in the backyard because he could see it. So
your old house?
In the old house. So that's what you're talking about. That's, wow.
I mean, wonder when they were digging a pool if they found your old dog. It disappeared when you were putting in drainage ditches.
The French ditch.
NBA, rocked by racism charges. Okay, so I'm thinking, oh, wow. Is it because there's not enough white players? Yeah. Oh. Well,
no.
Is it?
No, that's
not the reason. Nope. Is it because maybe things that the black players are saying about white people? No, that's not it either. You know, it's happened in the past. The owner of the LA Clippers, Donald Sterling, has been on TMZ, has got a recording they say is him, alleged to be Donald Sterling, the owner of the Clippers, who said words to his girlfriend, essentially is, I don't want you bringing Magic Johnson to the basketball games.
I don't
games.
Want you taking pictures with him and putting him on Instagram, too.
And others that are here. So was it just Magic Johnson, or was it, or he said blacks?
Well, he's also been, I'm not exactly sure, I don't have the perfect quote, but he has in the previous years has had a multi-million dollar settlement for making racist comments.
Oh, I didn't know that. Anyway, yeah. Here's Donald Sterling, who owns the Clippers, they're saying now, okay, so he said don't bring Magic Johnson to the game. Okay, he said don't put Magic Johnson pictures on your Instagram. Does that make him a racist for saying about Magic Johnson, or did he say blacks? Now, all this will come out. But because of this, Magic Johnson has said you need to sell your business because you're a racist. And all these other owners are coming in, oh, this is reprehensible and all this, and they're piling on. The question is this. This man has owned the Clippers for a long time. He has made his money. He didn't inherit it. He made his money. If he says something like this, should he be forced to sell his business?
I'm disturbed.
If he says, don't bring Magic Johnson, I mean, Magic Johnson seems like a nice guy, but don't bring Magic Johnson to the games, or don't put his pictures up. I don't want you doing it. He talked to his girlfriend. I don't want you to do it. And the guy's older. He says, I don't want you putting those on Instagram. Should you have to sell your business because of that?
I'm disturbed that the random comment, offhand, perhaps even misunderstood, can be used
taken
to absolutely destroy a person.
Yeah, taken out of context.
Absolutely crush someone just for the sake of crushing them and making an example out of them. That is scary
stuff.
He's finished.
He's toast. He's a Democrat, too. All right? He's a Democrat. So, you know, and he's toast unless something really different happens. Something really strange happens. But I'd say that he's finished.
What they're slapping him
with,
too.
A culture of fear over that.
What they're slapping him with, too, is that he did have a string of lawsuits. Let me correct what I previously said. Against Sterling, allegedly, a discriminatory housing practices that includes Sterling agreeing in 2009 to a $765 million settlement in a case that alleged discrimination against African Americans, Latinos, and other apartment buildings he owned in L.A. County.
Oh.
So he
pled guilty, or he just paid a fine, or what? Anyway, but the point is that, okay, maybe there is something else in here. But the other thing, too, is this. if you say something like that, should you be forced? I mean, just don't go to his basketball games.
That's what they're saying. They're going to try to strike.
They just say don't go to his basketball games. His players go and they turn their inside their warm up jerseys inside out and all that. But the bottom line is that at what point, because you say something or you may have said it in out of context or whatever, is your life completely gone? Is your livelihood completely gone? Where people want you to, frankly, they would love for you to just to disappear off the face of the earth. We'll be right back after these messages. We've got the Odyssey of the Mind with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is your pipe talking. Don't put that baby wipe down the toilet. Didn't you know that disposable doesn't always mean flushable? Cleaning wipes and baby wipes do not dissolve and get stuck in poor old sewer pipes like me. And I get backed up. Please, throw used wipes in the trash so I can continue to breathe and not clog your sewer pumping equipment. You know the cost to hire a plumber to unclog me typically ranges from $75 to $350? And that doesn't include the time it takes you to clean up the sewage that may have backed up. So pass the word on to everyone who cleans your home or business, too.
Be kind to your plumbing and remember, wipes clog pipes. Throw used wipes in the trash. In addition to wipes, kitchen grease, kitty litter, plastic, and latex items can all clog pipes and should be bagged or contained and placed in the trash. A public education project by Reading Municipal Utilities. For questions or more details, call 224-6068.
Remember when your doctor could see you when you were sick and not sometime next week? You didn't sit in a waiting room for hours. Your doctor actually sat down and spent time with you and wasn't rushed to see the next patient? Prestige Urgent Care in the Sunset Plaza on Eureka Way is bringing back old-fashioned healthcare. Walk-in urgent care, walk-in injury care, and the new Healthcare Direct Plan are the great services offered. This innovative membership program provides unlimited urgent and primary care for a low monthly membership fee, and pre-existing conditions are not a problem. Providing affordable, high-quality healthcare where patients enjoy unrushed visits in a comfortable, professional setting, avoid insurance hassles, copays, and deductibles. Prestige offers three different plans, and there's also a plan for businesses available. For more information, or if you have questions, stop by Prestige Urgent Care, 3689 Eureka Way, or call 244-4577, or visit prestigeuc.com. Make the most of Obamacare and save money while getting the healthcare you deserve.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
It's about to get busy, real busy. Who has time for the gym when you're taking the kids here and then there and pretty much anywhere? Well, at Anytime Fitness, you can work out around any schedule. Anytime Fitness is a 24-hour gym. Don't wait to get back in shape. Sign up today and get your first month free for a limited time. Anytime Fitness is a 24-hour gym. So go to the friendly, clean, and convenient gym on your time. That's Anytime. Anytime Fitness in West Reading next to Holiday Market.
It's Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. It's April the 28th at 7:34 in the morning, 530-605-4567 is our phone number. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, Angel. Sunny. Sunny says to say welcome back, Linda.
Oh, thank you so much. It's
great
to be back.
Good morning to my friends. Angel, we need to get together this week. This portion of the show is brought to you by Indwelling, the furniture store that has just about everything. But it's not your ordinary furniture. It is such a select brands and just the look of it.
Art
is so
objects,
different.
Very unique furnishings, wall coverings, tchotchkes, lamps, everything you could possibly want to set the stage for a very unique home furnishings. And they're right here in Reading. Brand new store. We really encourage you to go out and support indwelling.
That's right. Dilgus and Alexandra Abrahams. What interesting people. Go in there and just talk to them.
They're located on California Street right across from Jack Steakhouse. That's 1760 right next to the Bean Bog. You know, go in there and you'll see the signs that are green and gray. Fabulous.
Indwelling.
Okay. All right. We have an interesting a segment coming right now with us. And we're talking. It's called Odyssey.
Of the Mind.
Odyssey of the Mind. And it's the Education First, F-I-R-S-T, capitalized foundation, is honored to help support one of Reading School District's Odyssey of the Mind teams. Sequoia Middle School's team won the local and state level Odyssey of the Mind competition, which qualifies them to move on the national world competition level held at Iowa State University in Ames, Iowa on May 28th. Woo!
Right. We're joined here by Justin Grace. Good morning, Justin.
Morning.
And Andrew Moon.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, let's get that shout out of the way first.
Well, we'd like to shout out to our teacher, Miss Fletcher, and our coach, Ryan West, and also to our other teammates, Noah Morado, Farah Turkby, Rory Cowden, Mason Newsom, and Maine Henderson.
Because, you know, it would be kind of hard to fit 17 members and two teachers in here, so we're just kind of...
Oh, we've done it.
You're being the spokespeople today.
Really?
Okay, how old are you guys? We'll start off with you, Justin.
I'm 13.
And I'm 14.
So you guys are middle school.
Right.
It's at Sequoia Middle School.
It just blows my mind. You know, I've got these two bright, young men that are, you know, the world is your oyster. How are you cracking it? So what is Odyssey of the Mind? Share with our listeners.
Well, Odyssey of the Mind is an academic creative competition. They give you five problems to choose from, and we chose the skit problem. They want you to interpret the problem in different ways, and that's what the creative aspect of Odyssey is. We chose a skit where there's...
Could you spell that?
Sorry?
Could you spell that?
A skit.
A skit. Yeah. How would you spell that?
S-K-I-T.
Skit. You know, okay. Like they're doing something on the stage.
Okay. A skit. There you go. So I was thinking it was a math problem, but it's a skit.
Yeah. It's a long-term problem.
Yeah.
So, we had to do a skit where, a community feared something that they shouldn't be fearing, but, and then they go to the place where they fear and they realize it's not fearful at all. And we had to include some rhymes, a moving set piece, and then we had to write our own script and everything.
Wow.
Okay, and so you take this all, you bring this from the beginning, right? I mean, you start it from the, from scratch and you build this through.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Now, when you get to the finals, is it the same skit that you were doing, or is this something else?
It's the same.
Okay, so they don't do something like, okay, here is the subject, and give you like 2 hours to do it.
Well, we do that. It's called a spont.
Uh-huh.
And so they, we have to do that, and that's half of our grade for the finals. And so we get taken into a room, and they either give us a verbal hands-on or a hands-on. The hands-on, they give us a couple different objects, and we have to solve a problem, like putting a ping pong ball into washers without using your hands, just with the objects that they give us, and we can't break anything or anything. And
so a ping pong ball, put it in like a washing machine?
No, a washer, like a screw washer.
Oh, a screw washer.
Goodness.
And put it into it?
Yes.
Or pass it through it? No, put it in it?
Put it in it.
So and using, it. Oh, as
this a, is what's beautiful with having young minds that can bend. what is the world, finals and how did you guys qualify to go?
Well, the world finals takes place in Iowa, like you were saying, and we're gonna play against other states in the United States and Korea and China and other countries. I don't know, but
well, that's what makes it a world finals.
Yeah,
that's right. You
know, unlike our World Series, which is just for United States teams.
I never really understood that.
Well, you know, because we invented baseball and we can say anything we want. Okay.
And then we got first place at the regional, which was held at Mountain View Middle School, and first place at the state, which was held in Brentwood at Heritage High School.
I bet that was a big thrill, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, we got our score and, we were like, okay, yeah. And then we realized the score wasn't that high and we were about 2.5 hours away from home. So we just went home before we attended the awards ceremony. And it ended up that we won, that we found out later, so we didn't get to receive our trophy.
But so what did that lesson teach you? Stick around to the end.
Yeah. Don't lose faith.
Yeah, don't.
Never give up.
Never give up. There you go.
That's
you know?
What I love about it. This is so awesome, you guys. Are
stand near to all of your opponents are laying at your feet, okay?
Okay, so you guys are doing, your preparation for the World Finals is from the bottom to the top is a skit, you know, going in. And so tell me about the props. How did you get the props for your skit, and what are the rules?
Well, a lot of the aspect of Odyssey is using different materials to create your props. You don't want to just buy them out of a store. So we used a lot of recycled materials like toilet paper rolls and stuff like that. And also a lot of duct tape, because you can never go wrong with duct tape.
A must have.
Duct tape and WD-40. Yeah.
No, right.
You can rule the world.
And then we painted our own backdrops. We have about 3 of them, I believe. And then we wrote our own script and made our own costumes.
Okay, so how did you get started with this? I mean, you sit one day, Andrew looks at Justin and goes, hey, let's do a skit. No, it started in the school, and this is something Sequoia has been doing for a while.
Yeah, we signed up in our STEM program.
Okay.
That's been going on for this year just started. And in the beginning of the year, we started on a different problem. And it kind of didn't really work out for us, so we decided to switch problems like a month before the first competition, and that we ended up winning. So.
All right, now let's talk about musical instruments. I see in the notes here that you guys, do both of you play instruments?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so let's, what do you play?
I play piano. I played since I was 4. Then I played trumpet as well, and a little bit of drums, as does he. And what else do you play?
And I play saxophone and drums and a little bit of trumpet and a little bit of piano. I just started learning like a week ago.
Oh, yeah. So I saw an instrument out there. Is that a trumpet case? Or
that is a trumpet.
Okay.
And
Whose trumpet?
That's mine.
All right.
Yeah, we both play in the advanced band, which is actually going on right now.
We don't have trumpet lips yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, you can see how we said the trumpet lips. You're playing an advanced band. No, I love that because the musical instruments are part of, I think, in the same creative mode of what you're doing. There's math, there's complexity, there's, and people forget that music is really, to the fact that you've been taking piano since 4, how long have you been playing your instruments?
Well, I've been playing saxophone for about 4 years and trumpet for like half of a year. Piano for a week and drums. I've pretty much taught myself.
Good.
Yeah.
So you guys could be your own band. You can.
We actually played at the farmer's market the other day to raise money, and we raised quite a bit actually.
Well,
it was a lot of fun.
Let's talk about that. We need to raise money for our team going to the world championships representing California.
Odyssey of the Mind.
Now, it's going to cost about $13,000 to attend the competition in Iowa. And they're taking donations, they're taking sponsorships, which is for $100, you get your listing on the event t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
If you give $100, do you get a t-shirt?
No.
Okay, just one.
Sorry, we don't
give that much.
Sponsorships of $200 or more will also be mentioned in fundraising efforts when possible. Okay, now, how do you do this? It's tax deductible. And you can go to, you have an online payment option of get online to GoFundMe.com/8DDMY8. Anyway, call this number, 605-6623.
Any more fundraisers that you guys are doing that are coming up that we can, you know, shout out to or
tell people
attend
about?
Or?
Not, I don't think
play
so.
At the
not
farmers?
Where we're at. We might again, but I'm
good.
Not sure.
Okay, so in the farmer's market, how many kids play?
We had, me, Justin, and then a couple other guys switched off playing some instruments. Our friends played the drums and then the piano, the saxophone. And then we had people raising money up front.
Did you play compositions or did you play freestyle? Did you play songs?
Yeah, but I kind of freestyled sometimes.
Okay.
when he messed up, he just kind of went into like the freestyle solo
kind of
thing.
Yeah, kind of jazzy.
Okay. All right. Now, we want to help you do this because Sequoia Middle School is representing the state of California, but the North State, and with our brilliant young people to go back there, and it's going to take some money because there's 7 of you.
Right.
Plus chaperones because you're not going to just turn them loose in Iowa, though I don't
know.
Know.
Maybe you should turn us loose.
I don't. absolutely. I don't know what you could get in trouble in
Iowa.
Maybe, I don't know, cow tipping or something like that.
They have in Iowa.
Well, come on over here. Here's our chaperone?
Mom.
Okay, mom.
Mom.
All right.
One of the moms.
Okay. The money's used for?
We are going to be shipping a truckload of props for these guys, as well as they're flying and having lodging and food and all that good stuff while they're there. So it's a big team, big effort. We really appreciate if the community can chip in and help us out.
Okay. What number should they call? 605, the 605 number?
You've got the cheat sheet right there.
605-6623, and you can get, or, you know, you can fill it out, you can go online. You can also call Sequoia Middle School, I'm sure, who will give you some information on it. And see what else. The Reading School, Dish Education First Foundation, Sequoia Parents Club, Bamboosters for their, support. And your major sponsors, Reading Electric Utility.
And Tuckey Appraisals.
Tuckey Appraisals, as well as other sponsors. Let's see. Anything is appreciated. Checks can be made out to Education First Foundation, Odyssey.
Yes. So we've already had the kids go out in the community with letters requesting donations from many businesses that they need to follow up with. But meanwhile, if you've received one of those letters or if you're a business interested in helping us represent and also getting on that t-shirt, please feel free to contact us, because this is just a huge effort in such a short period of time. We only had about 30 days when we found out we won, and it was just this scrambled rush for the parents and the kids.
Could have found out earlier if you'd stayed.
Okay. Well, it doesn't
about an hour.
All right. Okay. Good. I tell you what, we'll talk about this a few times before you get ready to go, and we'd like to follow this as we go along.
That'd be great.
So, can you be our radio? Can you be our guys in the field for the radio? So you can call us and tell us what's going on.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then when you're back there, you give us a call. Hey, okay, we're going to do this, and you know, Justin is doing handstands over here, and Andrew is doing, you know, over there and doing these things. Can you do that?
Yes.
All right.
Great.
We won't pay you, but we will talk about it. Yeah, I know. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. This is Sequoia Middle School. They're heading back for the World Championships for the Odyssey of the Mind.
The World Finals.
World Finals. All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
See you.
The annual Reading Rodeo thunders into town May 14th through 17th. It's 4 days of action-packed rodeo with three performances of the Wrangler Million Dollar Silver Tour Rodeo. Wednesday and Thursday are family night. Both nights, all grandstand seating is priced at general admission. And Friday is Tough Enough to Wear Pink, night sponsored by Pendleton Whiskey. Saturday night, it's the Wrangler Champions Challenge and Tri-Counties Bank Night, as the top 10 in each event compete for one night $80,000 purse. Over 50 championships will be represented in this one night of rodeo. The Reading Rodeo will be jam-packed full of exciting family entertainment all four nights. Tickets are on sale now for all events. For tickets, go online to readingrodeo.com or visit the Reading Rodeo box office at the Reading Rodeo grounds Monday through Saturday, 9 to 7 p.m. or order by phone at 241-8859. Follow the Reading Rodeo on Facebook for up-to-date rodeo information and events. The Reading Rodeo grounds roar to life for the annual Reading Rodeo.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Looking for an unusual quality piece of jewelry? Do you have a wristwatch or timepiece that needs to be repaired and you don't know where to go to? Well, Four Winds Jewelry is the place. They have the only watch repair technician in town. Four Winds Jewelry is located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. And Four Winds Jewelry are the experts in gold or loose stones, opals, estate jewelry, or Native American pieces.
Go in and see Leonard and his associates. Four Winds Jewelry, meeting all your jewelry needs. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4 p.m. 222-2750.
Four Winds Jewelry.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to one to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to one on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. 474-5546.
Cool bump music.
Yeah, great. I like that. Thursday nights, pizza, brunches, lunches, great food. Super ambiance out there. You know, a really good service. It's absolutely beautiful out there. You just dine on the patio out there, the upper or lower patio or inside. It's simply good. It's simply excellent. John's the Deli and the wines and some little vineyards. Okay. The VA.
That was our alarm.
Yeah, we have alarms now here because at 8 o'clock we're going to have Tracy Reed here. Tracy Neal, who is the acting, or she's the interim probation officer in charge, county probation officer in charge. In what she does, she heads up this community cooperation of policing with Tombasenko and Bassetti and somebody from Public Defender's Office. And they talk a lot about what they're, in this is they've got this draft plan that I happen to get my hands on, and talks about what they're going to be doing to get their arms around the crime problem. Because as you know, both Paletti and Tombasenko have said the system's broken. The system's broken. Not that the system's not working very good. It's the system's broken.
No kidding.
So here we are with, so we're bringing in, Tracy, who has inherited this from her predecessor, Wes Foreman, who is, frankly, should be, I have no idea what he was doing, nor does anybody else. But she's coming in here to breathe life into this thing. But we're going to talk about
that.
It should
be on the blue line.
Well, I tell you what, back in it, she's coming on at 8 o'clock. But before that, we're going to talk about the VA, and we're going to try and get into Bundy too. But it seems like in Phoenix, Veterans Affairs, the hospital system had a secret waiting list, the double secret probation waiting list, which kept some vets were waited for years to get an appointment, leading in dozens of deaths. Here, dozens of deaths. They had two sets of books. Now, the boss there, you know, because people get, oh, how many of these cases did you clear? How many of these are you still working on? They're finding places where there's 1,800 cases that people just stored. They were in, or they took them, stole them, put them out in the woods, not just here in the Phoenix area, but in other areas back east. The VA's healthcare system needs to be looked at really strongly. Right now, Doug LaMalfa, Congressman LaMalfa, is going after Oakland and going after them heavy. Because it seems like their little mantra was, delay, deny until they die. Yeah, there you go. So, this thing in, not just Oakland, but Phoenix. Now, I'm not saying all the VA's, the main offices are like that. Now, let's talk about our clinic. And everything I know about our clinic, everybody I talk to, our clinic right here is just outstanding. I can't say enough about our clinic. They are good people down there. But when you get up into the bureaucracies where they're getting bonuses for having a million or hundreds of thousands of patients in a backlog, there's something wrong here. And now you find this. And this tells you two things. The first is that it is extremely risky to trust the government with something as important as your medical care. Now, the second part is they are going to be in they're going to be entwined with veterans' health care because that's their job. Veterans that serve this country put their lives on the line, whether it's in combat or just signing up, they're taken care of by the VA for their injuries that they've suffered while on active duty. Well, if that's the case, they've got to try harder because now we're finding places. Remember the VA clinic where all these people were exposed to HIV and hepatitis because of their testing, and then the way, and also the same things when they were doing colonoscopies at a clinic back east. There are lots of stories like this, and there's starting to be more and more stories like this. So the VA, who is in charge of the VA? What is Congress doing? What is the president doing? It's his Veterans Administration. What is he doing to make sure this is not happening? That this is going, that you get your arms around this. That people don't have two sets of books. So you're cooking one. Oh, look how good we're doing. And the other one, men and women are dying. Men and women are dying under this system. This leads us to the next one. Barbara Boxer sends out a press release that we got talking about the 211 to 300,000 patients at a year that die from diseases and infections they catch in the hospitals. And how she has sent out something, or they're sending out from Congress out to 148 major hospitals that says, what can you do to stop the, stop this rate of death? 211 to 300,000. I've got the exact numbers. I'll go find them. But it's huge. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, is this true? I mean, that's, you know, if you go into California and extrapolate it and all this, is it, that means you've got in LA County, you've got 30 dying a month from, infection. And I thought, well, maybe that's not such a big number. I mean, if you got so many million people there. But if it's true, what's being done about that? Boxer and Feinstein, man, they are up issuing releases about taking those pesky guns away from people, and that's Second Amendment because of the 30 or 40,000 that, you know, their numbers that die. You've got 200,000 dying in hospitals. What should have the emphasis? Where should all that money be spent? If Bloomberg wants to spend money to save people's lives, why doesn't he put it in the hospitals? Maybe new ways of sterilization of equipment. Maybe new ways of teaching on how to keep things clean. Maybe new types of equipment. If you want to spend $50 million on something that's going to save lots of lives, Mr. Bloomberg, why don't you spend it there instead of trying to take away guns from law-abiding people? That, to me, makes sense. You know, we've made cars safer over the years, and still, there's still thousands killed every year in incredibly safe cars because you have incredibly stupid people sometimes driving these incredibly safe cars. And then you have people making very poor life decisions, even though that it's a lot easier to live now. We can keep people alive, but they make incredibly stupid life decisions. But in the VA's case, the veterans were not making incredibly stupid life decisions, except that they trusted their VA in Phoenix. So what's going to happen? Well, what I hope happens is this guy goes to jail. I mean, they make an example out of this guy, that he's keeping different sets of books, turn them in, and that these veterans are dying. Put them in jail. You know what? There's no reason for this. Except, what, did bonuses have something to do with this? Did money have something to do with this? I would hate to think that, but I can't help but think that. The 1,800 records they found on these guys was because they were getting behind. And so instead of just getting behind and getting in trouble for it, they just, oh, let's just take it out and put them in the woods. These kind of things. Or let's put it in the backseat of the car. Let's put it in the basement. Whatever. Like a letter carrier that gets behind and then they find, and I heard this happen once, and they found 30,000 letters in his house when he retired. Okay, when we get back, Tracy Neal is going to be with us, and we're going to be talking about community policing and how that's supposed to work and how it's going to work, and is it working now?
Currently 50 degrees in the downtown studios. Mostly sunny today with temperatures around 75. Clearly, a beautiful night tonight with 51. Yeah, the week ahead of us. going to be 88 on Tuesday and 91 on Wednesday. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. 365-3793. And they also give a senior and veteran discount. 7:59 in the morning.
And this portion of the show has been brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Give them a call at 222-2750. The best example of estate jewelry is there. Linda's, this is Linda's, Linda.
Well, yeah, we
are. Love it.
I love their estate jewelry. That's my big deal.
I tell you, and Leonard and
but
his
they
associates.
They have so much more.
Oh yeah, there's so much more he has there. Leonard and Associates, honest, tell you what's going on, give you a straight scoop. The only trained watch repairman in Reading is at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. All right, we'll be right back after the news. It's April the 29th. It is 8 o'clock. Good morning.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Obama is promising federal help to Arkansas, where at least 16 people have been killed in a deadly tornado.
Even as we grieve, we know that we will recover and we will rebuild in these communities that have been affected, because people will care after each other.
Meanwhile, Valonia, Arkansas Mayor James Firestone telling NBC's Today Show that the devastation was tremendous.
Houses are reduced to rubble, people's belongings completely destroyed, scattered, and it's a lot of debris to deal with.
One person was killed when a separate tornado struck in Oklahoma. Also at SRNnews.com, more Americans signed contracts to buy homes in March, a first increase since June.
The National Association of Realtors says its seasonally adjusted pending home sales index went up 3.4% to 97.4 last month. However, the index remained 7.9% below its level a year ago. March's gain in signed contracts partly reflects a recovery from the harsh winter. Since last summer, a limited supply of available homes has pushed up prices and discouraged many buyers.
That's SRN's Jeremy House. Israel ground to a halt for 2 minutes today to remember the 6 million Jews who perished in the Nazi Holocaust. In New York, Holocaust survivor Michael Sirota turned out to commemorate the event.
Never again, never again. If you know what will be in the past, it will be better for the future.
Israelis stood in silence as sirens pierced the air today for 2 minutes. Officials say a pilot is missing, but a husband and wife have escaped injury after their small plane collided with the other aircraft over the San Francisco Bay. Coast Guard Lieutenant Jeannie Crump.
We have two planes that crashed in a mid-air collision about 1 mile north of Brothers Island, which is near the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge.
And the two planes collided in midair. One of the planes was able to safely land. On Wall Street right now, the Dow's up about 60 points. This is SRN News.
Hi, I'm Lynn, and I am totally blind. Like many who are totally blind, I have NON24, a circadian rhythm disorder that can put your sleep-wake cycle out of sync with the 24-hour day. But I found out there's a new treatment available for NON24. It's called Hetlioz Tasimelteon, the first FDA-approved treatment for NON24.
The most common side effects of Hetlioz include headache, elevated liver enzymes, nightmares or abnormal dreams, and upper respiratory or urinary tract infection. These may occur more often in patients 65 or older. It may cause drowsiness, so limit your activity to preparing for bed. Hetlioz has not been studied, and it is not recommended for use in pregnant women, children, or people with severe liver problems. To learn more and to hear the full prescribing information, visit Hetlioz.com or call 844-241-2424. That's 844-241-2424.
Hetlioz is now available for NON24. Talk to your doctor today.
Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
A judge at a mass trial in Egypt has recommended the death penalty for 683 people, including Muslim Brotherhood leader Mohammed Beidi.
There were scenes of shock and anguish when relatives heard the verdicts. Several women collapsed on the ground. Others screamed and wept, clutching pictures of their loved ones. One woman told us her 15-year-old son was among a group of almost 700 men given a preliminary death sentence. The fact that this group includes the Muslim Brotherhood leader, Mohammed Badia, is bound to inflame tension on the streets.
As the BBC's Orla Guerin reporting, in Washington today, a report being released calls attention to good news when it comes to high school graduation rates. According to the report from the Building at Grad Nation Summit, American high school students are now seeing a graduation rate of 80%. It also reports an improvement among black and Hispanic students. This is SRN News. The uproar over comments allegedly made by Clippers owner Donald Sterling continues. Clippers coach Doc Rivers says he's not sure what effect all this had on his players in a playoff game yesterday.
I can't imagine how much they've been pulled on and talked to and what you should do and what you shouldn't do and what you should say. And, you know, that's abnormal to a normal playoff game.
Some NBA luminaries speaking out about the issue. Michael Jordan says he's both disgusted and outraged by the alleged comments. President Obama called them, quote, incredibly offensive, racist statements. Hall of Fame basketball coach Jack Ramsey has died. ESPN announced his death this morning. Ramsey worked as a broadcaster at the network until last season. Known as Dr. Jack, Ramsey coached in the NBA for parts of 21 seasons, including leading Portland to the 1977 NBA title. No cause of death was immediately given. Jack Ramsey was 89. More details at SRNNews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. That's right. Linda is back on the stool.
Well, on the stool.
On the, well, in the seat, in
thank
the saddle.
You, thank
she's
you.
Back.
Riding, she's
back.
Riding yeah. the tornado as we come back today.
Oh boy, let's not, you know, and our hearts go and prayers go out to those families
right.
in Arkansas who, they're still looking for survivors.
18 dead so far.
Yes, yeah. It's tragic. Reading several stories on that. Anyway, currently 50 degrees in the downtown studios. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. And let's start off the top of the morning by going to our Wells Fargo advisor with Josh Wiley. And good morning, Josh. What's happening on Wall Street?
Well, good morning. Markets are positive to kick off the week. Currently, the Dow's up 123 points at 16,484, while the Nasdaq's up 22 at 4,098. Well, and the S&P 500's up 10 at 1,874. Oil's up 27 cents at $100.87 a barrel, while the 30-year Treasury's yielding 3.48%. Gold's down $1.30 at $1,299, while silver's down 11 cents at $19.61 an ounce. Some of our most actively traded stocks this morning, Intel's up 3 pennies at $26.29, Nike's up 49 cents at $73.17, while Google's down $5.53 at $510.65. Well, that's the market for now. This is Josh Wiley at the Reading office of Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Josh, thanks a lot. We have our Wells Fargo Advisors on Monday through Friday at 708-808-908. You know, if you're looking for good advice on annuities, on how to do your investments with people from right here that are really experts, go to our Wells Fargo office here. Give them a call at 243-7561. Make an appointment. Stop by their place at Park Marina Drive. Give yourself and give your kids financial freedom. They can help you do that. Okay, going to the phones. Rally Sally. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning.
Are you rallied today?
It's great. Hey, I just wanted to let people know that tonight at the Reading Tea Party at 6 o'clock at 2570 South Bonneview Road at Destiny Fellowship Church, we are having the Ted Lyons, who recently did a lecture up in Wairika about the wolf, and he has written a book called The Real Wolf, answering a lot of the questions about the wolf. As you know, state of California is looking to possibly list the wolf as an endangered species, which would be devastating to a lot of our farmers and ranchers who we have seen what has happened up near Yellowstone Park, where the wolves have regenerated themselves. So
they don't have any natural enemies then, and so that what they've done in Yellowstone and many other places, Wyoming, Montana, they've lifted the ban on hunting because they're destroying their elk and deer herds and their cattle and sheep.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's what tonight is all about, getting informed about that so that we can fight back before the endangered species becomes a reality with the wolf.
Maybe we'll become an endangered species. That's what we ought to have. Conservatives. Conservatives need to have an official recognition as an endangered species.
Exactly. That's why
in California.
We need to Jefferson.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's tonight, right,
thanks,
Sally?
Carl.
You bet. You take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's tonight, 6 o'clock at the Destiny Fellowship Church. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Well, good morning to our guest, Tracy Neal.
Good morning.
She is the interim, she is the interim chief probation officer for Shasta County. And also many, many other things here, but she heads up a, group that has Basenko and Paletti in it. And Shasta County Public Safety Realignment Plan is what they've written, but she is the head of the executive committee of the Community Corrections Partnership.
Correct. Yes, I am.
All right. So, and I have heard, from people that have worked with you that you are really, a go-getter. You're very proactive.
Boots on the ground girl.
I am. I am a boots on the ground kind of girl. And I came to Shasta. I've been here for almost about 2 years, and I came as the assistant chief, and I'm just thrilled to be here. I love the community. My husband and I picked this area to move to, and we hopefully want to make this our permanent residence.
Now, Tracy sounds young, but you've been in this business for a while here.
Yes, I have. I've been in the field for about 20 years. I started my career over at Humboldt County Probation, where I worked for about 4 years, 4 to 5 years. I worked at the juvenile hall. I worked with juvenile probation and adult addicted offenders. Then I moved down to Mono County, where I worked for about 14 years. In 2008, I got promoted to assistant chief. And then I moved here 2 Octobers ago.
May I say something? If that's the case, you must have started when you were about 5.
Well, thank you. I have good genes.
Tracy's really cute, by the way. The guys are kind of fluttering around like, oh.
The reason I wanted to say that is because your voice does sound young.
Yes.
But I wanted people to realize this is not your first rodeo.
No, it's not.
You've been in this.
No, it's not.
So I like to do a little bit of a backstory before we go into the present. Tell us about, growing up and how you got into, like, I would think that now this 20 years in it, it's a calling. You're passionate about it. You want to continue with this work. You're in it. So what led you on this path?
You know, nothing as growing up, you know, when I was growing up led me here. I went to college at Humboldt State University. When I was young, when I was 17, I was a young graduate, was a major in social work. The second semester I was there, I had to do volunteer work, and throughout my social work degree, I had to do a lot of volunteer work, and I was placed at the juvenile hall. I loved it. Finished my semester volunteering there, and then they hired me at the juvenile hall. Then as the years passed, I did some more volunteer work at the probation department, in the adult division, and then they hired me there, and I loved it. Worked there for several years, finished up my master's degree, and as I was sharing a little earlier, I was feeling pretty moldy and needing to get out of the rain. I was tired of buying a new Gore-Tex jacket every year, and so I put out applications throughout the state, and I said, whoever hires me first, I'll go. At the time, I was single and ready for adventure, and at the time, I did an interview in Tuolumne County, and the next day I did an interview in Mono, and they called me the next day and said, we'll take ya. And I said, really? I'll move tomorrow. And I moved, and then I spent, you know, 14 years down there, married my husband. We had a little girl. And my husband is a fly fishing guide. And so for years and years and years, wow, he would come up to Trinity and live up in this area for probably about the past 4 to 6 years, and my daughter and I would be in Mammoth in feet of snow. We'd have to dig out every day, and he'd be up here living, and so we knew this community really well. We have friends here, and so a job came up, you know, over in Trinity, and I said, oh, I'll wait, and then the Shasta came up. So I came up and visited and
that
decided,
was it.
And now we're here, and we love it. We absolutely love it. We don't believe these surveys at all that are coming out about the area, and we just love it.
Well, part of it's based on crime, and that's what we're going to be talking about when we get back here is that. But this portion of the show, in fact, that's what we are going to be talking
Great,
about.
Tracy. Yeah.
Because what people talk to us about, Tracy, is this. We realize we've got a big problem right
yes.
now. We've got the sheriff and the chief of police saying is the system is broken. I've got you who is in charge of this community policing project here that you're the one that's got the plan. And this is the thing that we usually hear from people is, okay, we understand we're up to our butt in bad guys. we need to know what the plan is.
Correct.
So that we know that down the road it's going to get better.
Yeah.
And you're the one that, from everything I can glean, and I've got the report here, is you're going to be the one that can talk about this.
Yes, I can.
All right. Hey, well, look, this portion of the show has been brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years. I can't say enough about Martin and his people and how good they are. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day service. It's going to be 90 degrees tomorrow. It may be time to call Alliance Heating and Air and have them check out your air conditioner before it really gets hammered in here. Give
and
them a
your
call.
Filters.
Yeah, get your filters checked out, your air ducts, all this. 221-2642. That's 221-2642. Check out their website.
Hey, we're going to take a break. Yeah. We'll be right back. KCNR 1460.
Down the street with the green pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speed. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip.
Laws continue to tighten up across the country. Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
243-8400 Preferred Carpet Care.
How often should you have your carpets cleaned? According to the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, the people who monitor clean air, water, and other sources of contaminants, you should have your carpets cleaned once or twice a year. If you have children, they should be cleaned every 6 months. You know, it really makes sense. Think about all the places you've walked today. Stores, restaurants, the workplace, public restrooms, parking lots. Imagine the stuff you walk on every day. Things both seen and unseen. And the residue can be in your carpets and rugs. Bacteria, chemicals, pollens, grease, and on and on. Not to mention the stains and dander from your pets. It costs so little to have Preferred Carpet Care clean your carpets, rugs, and furniture twice a year. They'll even put you on a schedule and call you. You'll feel better. Your home will be healthier. And your home will look so much better. Call for an appointment. Remember the number, 243-8400.
243-8400. Preferred Carpet Care.
243-8400.
This is Carl Bott. I'm with Chef John Stadelli right here at Anselmo Vineyards. I'm back in the kitchen.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, you know, I love it here. What's on the menu for today?
Today we're rolling out some special raviolis for Grandma Velia.
Beef, raviolis, salad, fish. You know, if you go to Anselmo's, it's going to be a superb meal.
Always made fresh with a ton of passion.
Well, that's why we like dining there.
Anselmo Vineyards, just a short drive from Palisadro. Anselmo Vineyards, it will become your favorite destination getaway.
Please join us. Reading Republican Women Federated presents our third annual wine tasting event, Liberty Wine Gala 2014, Thursday, May 8th at Turtle Bay Exploration Park from 6 to 8:30 p.m. For tickets, please call Tammy Gerhart at 921-0309 for the Liberty Wine Gala 2014.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Good morning.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio.
I love this song. You know, Bob, you really do play the best bump music. It's all over the map. And we'll talk about our little Queen Odyssey here in a little bit. 53 degrees in downtown studios.
No, we're not going to talk about the Queen Odyssey.
Well, later.
Tomorrow.
Later on. Maybe tomorrow. But
tomorrow.
Okay.
So the Queen Odyssey.
The Queen Odyssey. Yeah, we watched the documentary last portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew 2143 Hilltop Drive. live. Bird walking.
I know. She's bird walking again. Here we go.
That's what I do, folks. See if you can follow me. Great Espresso Joe's, coffee beans at all prices, great prices. And they have his electronic cigarettes if you want those. People are really, trying to quit to smoking tobacco. We'll go in there. And anyway, it's a great place to go. And they totally support the veterans. 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew.
Okay, our guest is Tracy Neal, the interim chief probation officer, and chairs the executive committee of the Community Corrections Partnership.
Good morning.
Oh, I tell you what. Talk about stepping into a fire, right?
Yes.
Okay. What exactly, for everybody, is the Community Corrections Partnership?
Sure. Let me back up a little bit, Carl. Back in 2009, there was a Performance Incentive Act, the Community Correction Performance Incentive Act. And what that did is that changed the way that probation does business. Evidence-based practices became involved. We were charged with improving the work that we do with our probationers, and we were going to be tracked, held accountable for our results, meaning that the more success we had, we'd get additional funding from the state. And so it was this initiative that started the Community Correction Partnership. And then in 2011, AB 109 and AB 117 is what brought down AB 109. And then further was more descriptive of what the Community Correction Partnership in the Executive Committee would do. And what this is that because of the AB 109, the release of certain offenders from the state prison system, this initiative outlined the way that we were supposed to deal with this population, meaning that the county was charged with developing a plan, the Community Correctionship Plan. It outlined who would be on the executive committee, and this plan needed to be in place, in a descriptive of how we are going to spend our funding would need to be discussed in this plan. The county receives about $7 million to $6.9 million a year for this population that we're receiving back from state prison and the new population that won't be going to state prison. And so this plan is our roadmap. It describes what the group's goals are, what we're working on, and what we're doing for this particular population.
Okay, it's been written since 2011.
Correct. So an initial plan was written in 2011. We've had one revised copy that was approved by the Board of Supervisors.
And what day was that?
And that was in 2012. And then recently, what month? It must have been in March. The executive committee voted on a new plan. So we have a new draft plan, which is up to date as to everything we're doing in the community with our offenders. And we're hoping to get that to the Board of Supervisors May, sometime before the beginning of the new fiscal year.
Okay, so is this but what I see here is a draft that anybody can see, by the way, if you just go to the Board of Supervisors and look for this, and you can see what you're doing.
Correct. And Carl, our plan hasn't changed from 2011. It's just been revised to address new and changing situations.
Okay.
And so our plan has always been, there's always been an emphasis on supervision, custody and custody alternatives, and assessment programs and services. So we've always focused on these three areas, and I can talk a little bit about those areas if you'd like.
Well, let's talk about the fact that under the old regime, and I just need to mention this, is that the plans in this from 2011 was to build a center to get the worst in there so they could start there, so you have like a one-stop shop to start helping them, and it took 3 years to get it built?
It did, and I can't really speak to the fact of the history. What I can speak to is as of what's happening. And
when did that open up?
That opened up last April. So we've actually been open for a year. And so what we have is on one side of the building is we have our community correction center, which we funnel all of our offenders through this section of our facility. And then on the other side of the building, we have our day reporting center, which is our day treatment program for our highest risk offenders. And we have, it's been up and down. So the facility opened, our day reporting center opened last April. So we are a year in review. And we have about,
I think it was about, last that I checked, 60 offenders in that program, 7 in our aftercare, meaning that 7 individuals are progressing to a point that hopefully this summer we'll be looking at a graduation.
Okay, so you've had them for a year. And you've got 7 that are looking to graduate from this, and in this they get mental health
so in
treatment
the,
and I mean job training and all this.
So when we think about the community correction center, let's think of that as a separate entity than our day reporting center. So
right.
What happens at our community correction center is offenders come there. They come there when they're sentenced. In that we have an eligibility worker, we have a job developer, we have our SOR program, which is our supervised own release program, and we run our GPS program out of there. We have a sheriff's officer there who does their work release program.
I just want to get one thing clear here. Is after they've been sentenced.
Correct.
So they may not have been sentenced to jail. These are the ones that have been sentenced to...
Sentenced, correct, Carl. Right. But let me... We're coming at this... Two ways. We're coming at it at a pre-sentence and at a post-sentence because, as you know, our jails are overcrowded, and that's a huge barrier for us because what's happening is we get people booked in the jail, and then they're released, and then what happens is they're in the community and they're committing new crimes before we can get them to sentencing. So when we think about the Community Correction Partnership, we're coming at it two ways. We're coming at it pre, which is our supervised own release program, and we're hoping to start a pre-arraignment program after the first of the fiscal year. And what those programs are is those programs are for offenders pending sentencing. So it's that pre-conviction. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to come in a little early, get them under our supervision, maybe on our GPS units, provide some supervision to assure that they make it to court because they can't sit in jail where they should be. So we're looking at a different avenue of holding them accountable initially. So those individuals would also be coming to our Community Correction Partnership. And then everything else we're doing is our back end to those sentenced offenders. And so all of our offenders come there. We have a mental health clinician. We assess offenders to determine their risk to reoffend. And then we place them on certain caseloads. We give them certain services according to their criminogenic needs. Now, when we assess them, it could be that they need to go to our day reporting center, and then at that time we'd refer them over.
I'm still marveling at criminogenic. It's a word that you don't hear, but it's a new word.
It's good because I saw it yesterday and I went, oh my gosh,
it's
criminogenic.
It's a word we're going to start using more.
We are. And what those are is they're the different attributes or characteristics that an offender could have. Meaning they are socializing with antisocial peers. They're using drugs and alcohol. They don't have employment. So it's all the factors that would prevent them from being successful. And so what we're trying to do is we assess them. We determine whether they're high risk, moderate risk, or low risk to reoffend. And I can throw some numbers out there, Carl, for you. We supervise... Let's see. We supervise 1,828 offenders on an average. That's our kind of our average population. Out of that population, 298 of those are our post-release community supervision offenders, meaning those offenders that are coming to us where they normally would have been going to state parole. And then we have about 170 offenders that are our multiple sentence offenders, meaning those are our offenders that would have gone to state prison, but now they're serving their sentence here locally, and they're under our supervision. Out of that 1,828 offenders, 868 of those offenders are high risk to reoffend.
And how so many? How many of these?
868 of those
of
offenders?
The 1,600.
Correct. Of the 1,828.
The 1,800
are high risk to reoffend.
So
that means that
40-something percent.
Correct. That means those offenders are our ones that we want to supervise and monitor the closest because they're the ones out there committing the most crime. So getting back to the assessment, we assess them. We determine their risk to reoffend.
That's interesting in itself.
Correct.
How you go about doing that.
Correct. And there's some different domains that we look at. It's a empirical, it's a computerized tool. We enter this data
It just means 1 minute.
1 minute. Yeah. Okay. And so then it shoots this out. It's, and that's how then we determine how we supervise these offenders. And then, once we do that, we determine their criminogenic needs, meaning the areas we need to target, the areas that if we put, target the interventions, we'll have more success with.
Their antisocial personality, perhaps.
Well, that could be, or it could just be, you know, that it, we have somebody that is, all they know is pure, just hanging out with people mm-hmm. that are involved in criminal activity. Mm-hmm. There are people involved, you know, in drugs and, you know, and that's a big one.
I think the criminogenics is criminal thinking, criminal associates, mm-hmm. antisocial personality, antisocial behavior, lack of employment / financial stability, lack of family or significant relationships, inadequate educational attainments, and substance abuse.
Correct. And we feel, and the evidence is telling us, that if we target those interventions and provide treatment to those, we'll have more success.
Okay. Now, I am glad that – I am happy that I'm talking to Tracy right now.
Same
I'm sure
here.
You are.
Absolutely.
Because you obviously have a grasp of what's going on. This is not – like we said, this is not your first
time.
No.
Yeah.
And what I've heard from this is, okay, this is our plan. And I've read the plan, and a lot of it's boilerplate, but, you know, I see some things in here. But I see, you know, I see everybody's working together. That's the other good thing, where they weren't before. I'd like to see that the Board of Supervisors maybe take a little bit bigger chunk out of this. I don't see any of them on this, but they do go up. The other big thing I heard from this is we've got 1,800 people a month that you're looking at. Correct. Of that 1,800, 800 of these – 800 or 600?
868 are high-risk to reoffend.
High-risk to reoffend because correct. They've got multiple offenses in the past.
Correct. And now something that's really important, Linda and Carl, to remember is that you've heard from the sheriff and the chief is that we do have this pending population out there that have not been sentenced. And so we do have a large population of offenders that have not been sentenced that can't necessarily get to probation for us to start targeting and treating, supervising, and surveillancing.
Yeah, and that was one of the big things. But we need to take a break here, and we'll be right back. Carl Lindebot, our guest is Tracy
Tracy Neal.
We'll be right
Tracy
back.
Tracy Neal. I kept wanting to say needs because it's like we need this, you know.
Neal.
Yeah,
we need we'll Neal. Be right back. Casey and our 1460.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
This is awesome, Uncle Vince.
Are you ready to make your first Mary's delivery?
Yeah, what are we delivering?
You can order anything off Mary's menu for delivery. So we have spaghetti with meatballs, tortellini, bruschetta, chicken parmigiana, gnocchi.
Shh. Eyes on the road. Hands at 10 and 2.
10 and 2?
Test the horn.
I'm not going to test the horn.
Horn check.
Thanks for testing the horn. It works.
How's the engine temperature?
It's fine.
Maybe I should check on the meatballs in case they're rolling around back there.
No.
This is a pretty nice car. This isn't your car, is it?
Yeah, this is my car.
Really? Huh. Wow, wouldn't have guessed that.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Reading. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Amazing Foods for Life, gluten-free baking mixes made with ancient grains. At Amazing Foods, we're here to help you make living gluten-free easy and healthy. Often it can be difficult to find fast, easy, and delicious treats. With our cookies, cakes, muffin mixes, you can have bakery fresh in your home in about 20 minutes, while at the same time adding protein and omegas to your diet. Amazing Foods for Life is produced in a dedicated top 8 allergen-free environment. Check us out at amazingfoodsforlife.com or at Orchard Nutrition Center, Tops Market, and many more.
Howdy, Redding. Nate Alvarea here. It really is a privilege getting to broadcast live sports here on KCNR 1460. And once a week, I even get to host my own talk show. The NorCal Sports Show, presented by Tavan Car Wash, can be heard every Tuesday night at 6, right here on Free Fire Radio. Tavan Car Wash is Redding's friendly hometown car wash, and they are proud to be a part of the North State's only local sports radio show. Tune in, call in, let it rip. The NorCal Sports Show, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, KCNR 1460.
At Second Amendment, Inc., we agree with Thomas Jefferson, who said, "I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery." Show your patriotic support for our right to keep and bear arms by wearing apparel made only in America. Second Amendment, Inc. merchandise is available at Bastiani Arms on Larkspur Lane, Signstation Sign Shop on Alfreda Way, right across from Lowe's, or online at SecondAmendmentInc.com. That's SecondAmendmentInc.com.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. Carl Lindabaugh, good morning. It's Monday, April the 29th. Good morning. 530-605-4567. If you have questions, give us a call here. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Hello, SF and Angel, and they're talking about the government and emergency things. 53 degrees out there. It looks like it's going to be a great day. Tomorrow it's going to be in the 90s. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Take a step back in time. The Cheers of Barbershops, man's last stronghold. Discounts for seniors and veterans at Cypress Square Barbershop. Our guest is Tracy Neal, who is the interim probation officer for Shasta County. And obviously, okay, if you're just tuning in, she's been in the business about 20 years and has taken us over and is dynamic here and is able to talk about this, the problem we have here. Okay, the huge problem we have is we've got too many bad guys in our area. We don't have enough room to incarcerate them. If there's no room to incarcerate them, they're not scared.
Correct.
And you're trying, and you've got a tough job because you've got, you know, X amount of,
probation officers.
And you were saying something before you left is that you've got an area out there where there's more out there.
Yes, there is.
But we can't get to them because they're running.
Correct. And it's where we have to be really innovative. And I was talking a little bit earlier about some of our efforts pre-conviction, what we're trying to do regarding pre-arraignment, what we'd like to start in our supervised own release program. But, you know, getting back to something that you were saying is we have a very difficult job in probation because we are charged with supervising these offenders. We're charged with assuring that they're in compliance with their terms and conditions of court, that they're not in the community out there committing new crimes, and we're charged with building relationships and changing their behavior over a period. You know, most supervision cases are anywhere from 3 to 5 years. And so it's a lengthy time that we're working with these offenders. And let me say, you know, a lot of these offenders are career criminals. They've been doing this for a long time, and a lot of them are resistant to change, as most of us are.
What's your success rate on something like that? I mean, I realize this has only been going on for a year, but you've been in the business for a while. You get a career criminal.
You look at
all his criminogenics there, and you have to, I mean, we're spending a lot of time. I mean, we used to talk about spending, you don't spend a lot of time with your top 10% because they're going to be okay. And you don't spend any time with the bottom 10% because they're never going to change. So it's the 80% in the middle you're really trying to get. If you get these ones habitual criminals and you're spending all this time on them and you've got these others coming in that you may have catched them at a younger spot in their life.
Correct. Well, and that's, I think, you know, you're hitting the nail on the head because the thought of what the state has done in the change, it's a change in mindset. And so the hope is, you know, we do somehow have some of these career criminals that we may not be able to change. And then our goal is to surveillance them and get them back to state prison where they need to be. But we do, and as years pass, we have a different population that we're trying to work with in change behavior and show them a new way of life. Now, when you talk about success rate, you know, it's how do you define success?
And them not breaking the law again.
Correct. And so,
is it them not breaking the law? Is it them not getting booked into jail? Is it them not getting a new conviction? Is it them not getting a new grant of probation? I mean, there's several.
No, there's only one way you can measure this for recidivism is you have spent 2 years on this fellow or lady. And at the end of that, or at some point during this, they break the law again. If they break the law again and commit another crime, then it's a failure. It's not if they get arrested and they get, returned
correct.
Back to you because they still got arrested.
Correct.
And I can imagine the frustration of you spending a lot of time on somebody and you think, I've finally gotten to them. Mm-hmm. And the next day they get busted with their buddies breaking into something
correct.
Like this. You have to have a hammer someplace there. Mm-hmm. Do you have a hammer?
Well,
anymore?
You know, it's tough because like we mentioned earlier, the jail is overcrowded. We're having to come up with new ways to have a hammer at this point. In some of those ways, we're trying to be innovative we're trying to do alternative sanctions. So what that means is somebody should be sitting in the county jail, but they can't. And so how can we hold them accountable? How can we take something away from them that is precious enough to change behavior, such as a GPS monitoring, tracking them, knowing where they're at, limiting when they can leave their house and when they, where they can go. We're trying to increase, chemical testing, our drug testing.
How do you do that? Do you mind me just, I don't want to interrupt
sure,
you, but
no.
One of the things that crossed my mind during this, wonderful, discussion with you this morning, Tracy, was, how many, criminals, are there any sober?
Definitely. So we are having some success. It's not high, and we may not be seeing it, and I know Chief Paletti's talked about this a lot, is that we have a pool of individuals, and it's the same pool that are committing these crimes.
And I have to apologize to everybody because I used the wrong numbers. I think my numbers were too low when I said there are so many 6,000 arrests, and of this, 1,100 of them have been arrested 4,000 times.
Correct.
So, Chief, if you're listening, you might want to come over and bring in the right figures right there because other people are now quoting me. So I'm not quite sure. But yes, we've got like 1,100 offenders that if we could get rid of them
correct.
Somehow.
Correct.
Well, we see, we see it on our street.
Yeah.
We have a building on our street. We see the changeover quickly. And just recently this weekend, I saw these two guys carrying on their little bikes with backpacks, carrying a little bike with them. I knew that this is all about trafficking.
Yeah.
You can see it. It's a snapshot picture.
People haven't seen before, prison tats, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's.
Yeah.
But we go back into this is that you're right. There's a number of people that are caught, that are being arrested several times.
Correct.
Some on public drunkenness, okay, that you can take that out, but you're talking about the others. And we don't have a hammer on it. And one of the things we talked about is you're working hard with people, but right now, jobs, and if you could get somebody a job, but jobs are just tough around here for people without
correct.
Records.
Correct. And we do have at our Community Correction Partnership, we have a job developer that does work with offenders. And it sounds basic, but sometimes it's just how to prepare for an interview. How do you complete a resume? Some of the offenders just don't even have that level of skill set, just some of those basic living skills.
Say a basic living skill, what do you mean?
I mean, they don't know, I'm coming down to see Linda and Carl. I need to leave my house at 7:30 because there may be traffic or there may be lights, parking. I don't know exactly where I'm going. And so they don't have those basic organizational. They don't have some of that skill set that you and I have. They don't know that brushing their teeth before going to a job interview is going to make a difference or that not texting on a phone is going to make a difference.
Yeah, Chief Paletti just walked in.
Speaking.
Because we get them. They're
he
all
shall
listening.
Come.
That's right.
The waters have parted.
Okay. People were quoting me. Dan Fagan was quoting me the other day, but he quoted me, and I had the wrong figures. What are the figures for this there? Chief.
It's 6,964 arrests in 2013.
Okay. For the year.
For the year. 1,135 offenders, repeat offenders accounted for 62% of those arrests or 4,360. So it's not quite the 1,135 getting arrested 6,900 times as Dan and you quoted last week, but
okay.
It's still not a pretty number.
All right. So how many arrests did you have?
6,964.
Okay, and you rested?
1,100 people, 4,360 times.
4,360 times. Top okay, offense. Dan, I know you're listening now. Here it is.
Top offenses were, you know, drunk in public, property crimes, and dope arrests, and then failures to appear in court for several okay. types of warrants.
All right. Hey, we're liking this. We're liking your the head of the
Tracy.
Of the community policing group here, or whatever this thing is called.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks a lot, Chief.
Thanks, Chief.
Yeah. Okay. You know, Tracy, this so, is. Let's take a break because we okay. need to take a break now. Then we can get moved into this. One of the things I want to talk about is you're catching on. You're catching the hind end of this.
Yeah.
I mean, they've put them through the meat grinder. You're getting the sausage, except the sausage isn't in the case
it's
anymore.
Spoiled.
Correct.
We're going to try to make it not so spoiled.
You know, in something we just briefly talked about is that we're moving forward and we keep getting more offenders from state prison. And so it's really hard for us to get our boots on the
ground. Can we talk about that for a second?
Sure.
We're getting more from state prisons.
Well, so what's happening?
Wait a minute. After the break here, this is called a hook.
A hook? Give me the hook. Tom, the sheriff of Sanko was good at giving me the hook.
No. This is the hook to keep people on the other end going. What do you mean? Are we getting more people from state prisons? And then they wait till after these interminable commercials. We'll be right back.
The 66th annual Reading Rodeo thunders into town May 14th through 17th. It's 4 days of action-packed rodeo with three performances of the Wrangler Million Dollar Silver Tour Rodeo. Wednesday and Thursday are family night. Both nights, all grandstand seating is priced at general admission. And Friday is tough enough to wear pink, night sponsored by Pendleton Whiskey. Saturday night, it's the Wrangler Champions Challenge and Tri-Counties Bank Night as the top 10 in each event compete for one night $80,000 purse. Over 50 champions will be represented in this one night of rodeo. The Reading Rodeo will be jam-packed full of exciting family entertainment all four nights. Tickets are on sale now for all events. For tickets, go online to ReadingRodeo.com or visit the Reading Rodeo box office at the Reading Rodeo grounds Monday through Saturday, 9 to 7 p.m. Or order by phone at 241-8859. Follow the Reading Rodeo on Facebook for up-to-date rodeo information and events. The Reading Rodeo grounds roar to life for the annual Reading Rodeo.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew, guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Ted Lighty here with NorCal Firearms Instruction at Sportsman's Warehouse. The fact that female victims are more likely to be injured in an assault is undisputed. Call NorCal Firearms Instruction today to learn about our ladies-only personal protection class. This popular course is designed to teach the skills, attitude, and knowledge needed to protect yourself with a firearm. Our classes fill early, so contact us today at 999-1822 or read our reviews and register for a class at readingccw.com. This is Ted Lighty, and I'll see you at the range.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. Our friends down there, John Bastiani, prides himself on customer service, fair prices, and having it all. Ammo and guns, has it all in stock, and he'll work with you too. Great gunsmiths, John Bastiani, and all of his people down there. Get that special treatment. And that's, you know what? That personal, treatment you get at Bastiani Arms. 222-8222-2539 Larkspur. And I just want to give a shout out to the ladies in the women's only concealed carry class that we taught yesterday. What a great job they did.
How many gals did you have?
We had 18, and every one of them qualified. They just, you know, can I say this? You want to break into a house? Don't break into those houses. They're ready. They're ready. And they can shoot.
And one of the things that you had
great
asked.
Great people. Great. And, you know, it was a cross-section of lawyers, postmen, housewives, the whole thing. It was great.
One of the questions that you do ask each one of them to declare why they are there.
Yeah, and we just asked them, and this started because of you, sweetie, that we were there just asking, why are you taking the class? And in this case, every one of them said the same thing. Personal protection, their husbands travel, they're there by themselves, they may be out in the country, that they fear for their safety at times, or they want to be able to protect themselves and protect their families. And that kind of ties into who we have right here, Tracy Neal, who is the interim chief probation officer for Shasta County and chairs the executive committee of the Community Correction Partnership. And this is what we're facing out there. We have 5,500 concealed carry licenses. They're backed up until July to be able to come in and talk to Sheriff Basenko. He wants to put an extra person on there. People are going out and doing this.
Yeah.
We've got the system's broken, according to both of our senior law enforcement officers here. We're going to have Steve Carlton on Thursday and get his take on it. And then we're going to try and get the public defender to get his take on it. But I think everybody agrees is one of the big problems is we don't have room in the inn.
Correct.
And we have no hammer. But you are trying and you are taking, you've got 1,800 people you're supervising.
Yes.
You know that there's a bunch out there that they can't put their arms around.
Correct.
The most wanted, Shasta County's most wanted.
Correct.
So, you know, we're doing a lot of different things. The Community Correction Partnership, the Executive Committee has definitely identified some specific areas being the Shasta's most wanted, because we have these offenders out there that are not getting to court or not getting sentenced. Therefore, then they can't get to probation so that we can hold them accountable, and get them into treatment. We also, something new that we've started this year and we're very excited about, and you know, you talk about a team approach. In the fall, the courts, they said, let's get together and start talking about some collaborative courts. We got together, the district attorney, the public defender, the probation department, the courts. We got together, and really started talking about these collaborative courts, and it was really a team approach. And because of that and because of the dedication and the commitment, we were able to get two collaborative courts started January 27th. That Judge Gall is heading up. And those courts are the behavioral health court, to focus on our offenders that do have some mental health illness, some offenders that need some assistance. And then we have our reentry court, which, getting back to what we were talking about before the break, is for the higher risk offenders, the offenders that we can't reach, the offenders that are cycling through the system, get them into court on one of these, collaborative courts. And now what happens is that Judge Gall has court once a week. These offenders come in. There's a team that works with these offenders on their specific needs. It's really exciting.
Okay, so it treats a specific strata of society here.
Correct.
Okay. One of the things you said before we broke, the state is sending more prisoners to us.
Yeah, and let me talk a little bit about that. And so
we've got like about 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So there's plenty of time.
Perfect. So on an average, since the inception of AB 109, so we have two populations when we think about AB 109. We have the offenders that are coming to us, like I mentioned earlier, from state prison to us instead of state parole, so those offenders that are on PRCS. And then we have the offenders that we're supervising that no longer go to state prison. They serve their time locally here. So we have those offenders. So when we talk about those people coming from state prison, that's half of our population. When we think about AB 109, and since the inception, October of 2011, we've received 667 of those offenders. On an average, we were averaging about 15 to 18 of those offenders on a monthly basis. Now, as time passed, and we're into it several years, the hope was that that population would decline. That instead of receiving 15 to 18 of those a month, we would receive, as months went by, 10, maybe 9, eventually with being down there to only a couple a month. But what's happened is we've continued to see the same population being released that we saw when AB 109 started. So we're continuing to receive offenders from state prison. Plus, as we were talking about on our break, the district attorney's office, we're continuing to send people. So as long as we continue to send people to state prison, we'll receive them. Now, so we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to receive about 15 to 18. But the concern is that we have the three-judge panel, and they recently came out with the ruling, and they've given the governor some very specific guidelines. But part of that is in when they released their report in February is that they were going to – they've in that report is that they would increase the credits for our nonviolent second strikers, which means that if you're a nonviolent second striker, instead of getting 20% credits, you're now going to get 33% credits. And this was effective May 10th when the report came out, and it's pursuant to their court order. And so people, that population will be released early. So what that means is in 2014, if you were a nonviolent second striker, you'd get out 30 days early. In 2015, you'd get out 90 days earlier from your original release date. In 2016, you'll get out 135 days. Now, we don't have our exact numbers for Shasta County yet, but we will be receiving those, and I don't know what that is. But so we talked earlier, we continue to get offenders from state prison into our population where we're just starting to get our feet on the water. We're just starting to make some progress where we have this foundation, you know, our services. We're fully staffed now at the probation department, which is the first time in several years. And so we're just starting to make some headway, but we're continuing to get offenders, which makes it slippery. It makes it tough.
Well, that's going to, unfortunately, that's going to continue to happen.
Correct.
And one of the things we're going to do is part of the executive committee, member of the executive committee for the Community Corrections Partnership is Steve Carlton, the district attorney, who'll be on here Thursday. And we're going to talk to him about this and sentencing and this. Now, the other thing is it was just floated out in the federal prisons is turn everybody loose with clemency who had drug convictions that on today, if they were arrested today, They wouldn't be spending 20 years in jail. This could release.
Correct. And there's also a few.
Thousands of prisoners back
correct.
Out.
Correct.
That comes down, they have to come to you though.
Not from federal, only from state. But there's
but
a few other things.
But the state's gonna follow that out, I would think. We've only got a minute left.
But then there's a few other things. There's elderly parole that the state is starting to implement. So those offenders will come. There's medical parole. That's all gonna impact our system. In the programs we're trying to establish and our jail beds, in the cost. And so there's a lot rolling out. And so, you know, we talk about this broken system. We're making some headway and we're starting to lay some foundation. But now, you know, the next step is going to be really program evaluation and determining what the Community Correction Partnership Executive Committee, what they've laid out. Are we being successful?
Are
the programs that we're putting in place working? And that's the next thing we're going to start to look at.
All right. As an old saying in the Marine Corps, it's hard to remember that you're out there to drain the swamp when you're up to your butt in alligators. Okay.
That's a good one.
It's a good one. Okay.
It's a good visual.
Tracy Neal, thank you so much for being here with us. This is not
sure.
the last time.
No.
Because I'd like to get, at one point, like to have a, have all of, you know, the main players in one room. And let's just talk about
this. And also, Tracy, I'd like to have you come back, or we'd love to have you come back as well, because you mentioned a few things that made up question marks. Because I, you know, we talked about, you were talking about medical releases, and you were talking about elder releases. We want to know more about what is happening on the state level that is going to impact us. So we're, there's more information behind what that means.
Right. Definitely.
With that one-liner.
And let me read a few things. This lady certainly has a passion for it. You can hear it in her voice. Yes, she does. She knows her facts for sure. I like that. Need more people like her.
Well, I have lots of information here that I want to share. I want to get out there in the community so they know what we're doing.
Well, I think, and that's a problem, because right now everybody thinks that we are overrun, that there's nothing going on. Where's the plan? So, see, that's the bottom line. If we can get the plan out there, say, look, this is the way we're going to fight this. Now, right now, though, there's only so many of you. It's like, you know, the band of brothers, and you're surrounded by the rising tide.
Well, and Carl, something that I didn't get to mention that I do want to mention is our efforts that we're doing on our juvenile end, and we just opened a new juvenile rehabilitation facility, and that's a whole nother aspect in regards to rehabilitation and treating and preventing adult criminal activity.
And you've got to break the cycle, absolutely. I want to talk to you, too, about a veterans court, which is kind of starting in different places in the United States, you know, where veterans are that have had problems that are being seen, and people are working with them that way. Hey.
Thank you, Tracy.
Tracy Neal, interim probation officer for Shasta County. You did great here.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
We want to have you on several more times.
Bob Belongi, always at the helm.
Bob,
do a great job.
There. Hey, tomorrow, Haven Humane, and a number of other things that are happening tomorrow also. have a great day. Linda's back.
Great to be back.
Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. More violent weather is possible today in the central and southern parts of the country. Forecasters warn of powerful winds, large hail, and the potential for potent thunderstorms. This follows last night's deadly tornadoes. Suburban Little Rock, especially hard hit.
There's lots of people that do not have homes.
Gene Spruill in Austin, Arkansas. The severe weather killed at least 16 people in Arkansas, one in Oklahoma. Parts of Kansas and Iowa got hit as well. As pro-Russian militants seize more buildings in eastern Ukraine, the Obama administration trying to tighten the screws on Russian President Putin.
With President Obama traveling overseas, the White House announced new sanctions hoping to pressure the Russian leader to de-escalate the crisis in Ukraine. The new penalties target 7 Russian government officials as well as 17 companies with links to Vladimir Putin. The White House says Russia's involvement in the recent